You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Tom Brady always wins, Stugatz, and so I couldn't believe when I heard the general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks, as their team has gone from like 28th in merch to first in merch, as they've returned all of their free agents, and he's basically become LeBron of free agency, and guys will come play with me. Did you see what Jason Licht said, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks? And it's totally in keeping with your don't do it, Dan, I care about you.
Yeah, he said he could play till 50.
Not could play, right. But if he wants to play until he's 50.
They'd be okay with that.
He can play till he's 50 here. That's 6 years, Stugatz, that the general manager just put his name on. Now, maybe it doesn't mean anything because the Crafts at the end also said that Tom Brady could play as long as he wanted to, and that clearly wasn't so. The Crafts said he decides when he retires, but I was still surprised to see a general manager attach himself to somebody that way, because it's one thing to bet on Tom Brady last year to do unprecedented things like he did. It's another thing entirely to bet on it for the next half decade as pocket passers go extinct, Stugatz. As you've seen in that sport, that's not the way the future's headed.
Yeah, but he just won a Super Bowl, so I'm okay. I think it's a heady play, actually, attaching your name to Tom Brady's name and saying you're welcome here as long as you want to keep playing this position. You have to figure that guy's the GM until Brady's 50, regardless of how he plays, regardless of what happens. I am upset, Dan, because the AFC East thought they got rid of Tom Brady. They thought they rid themselves of Tom Brady. You know who the Bucks get next year? The AFC East. I mean, Jesus, I'm a Jet fan. I got to face Brady again. It's annoying already.
Why do you put any weight behind anything any general manager ever says? Like, they're liars. Every time they sign any player ever, they say that player is going to end their career here. And then 2 years later, they trade them because they don't like them anymore because they're not valuable. Albert Pujols was just cut, like told to go away. And he's like a legend in baseball. General managers lie about everything. Why do we trust this guy?
Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Are general managers liars? But Billy brought something up, and you so rarely get the ending that you want anywhere in entertainment, never mind sports. He mentioned Albert Pujols, but Ellen DeGeneres, what an enormous run she had. You don't get to
a shock.
You do not get to any place in entertainment that goes 2 decades and you're totally clean, but at the end there's the stumble, right? We don't get her, she doesn't get to finish like John Elway. Most people do not get the ending that they want. And so she, after a remarkable run of Stugatz being hugely likable, her gift was likability. She supplanted in daytime television Oprah, who was the queen of likable, and gets 20-year run, but at the end, toxic workplace. And now she's saying she's deciding on her own to get out, but streaming changes the game. Her ratings are down and people are People are saying it's because of the toxic work environment, but everybody's ratings are down as television totally changes. And so she doesn't get the, not even her, a legend by any standard, someone whose likability was off the charts and got her daytime television dominance. Not even she gets the ending she wants, where people are wondering, really, did you just quit? Or is the shame of how we all found out that you were kind of a bad boss, is that what's driving you out of the game?
That's what they all say, Dan. They're quitting on their terms. They're leaving on their terms. The game has passed her by a little bit, and that's fine. I was shocked to see the news, and she did have some stumbles as she crossed the finish line there. But who does in entertainment, outside of athletes, who does have that Elway kind of ending, right? Elway finished it perfect. I don't think entertainers get that, do they?
It is hard to age gracefully. We've been talking about Dick Vitale and what people do in terms of cruelty to him and Lee Corso. And sports allows it much, much better than any place else does, because say what you will about ESPN, and you can have your polarizing opinions, but it can't be disputed that they've treated those guys with the proper respect that they deserve toward the end of their old age, as the internet and young people can be super, super cruel.
Well, the problem with actors and entertainers outside of the world of sports is they're always trying to latch on to one more project. Like, the perfect ending for Sylvester Stallone would have been to retire right after Rocky IV. That would have been it. That would have been the moment right there. Can't get better than that. But he wanted to stay on. He wanted to try to win a few more championships, and he just couldn't get it done. You know?
Ellen isn't because she was getting old. Like, Ellen was a jerk, and she chose to be a jerk to people behind the scenes. And then she put on this show about how she wasn't like that. And then people started coming out and saying, that's not reality. That's not how things are. Like, she made those decisions. Like, this isn't an age thing and the game passed her by. Like, she chose to be that way and portray herself as something that she wasn't. And that's what caught up to her, not age.
It was fascinating to watch yesterday because it did seem, I believed her. I don't know if you guys believed her or not, but I believed her when she was saying, look, my brother, my family wanted me to keep doing this. I've been talking for years about how to get out. The creativity, what she was talking about is she framed it, and I can understand if you're cynical about this, under I'm not challenged anymore creatively. That is death for a creative, Stu Gatz. These environments do flame out. There aren't a lot of things like Ellen that get to last 20 years across television. So I believed her, but I understand if you're cynical about not believing her.
What does last? I mean, there's not, she had an amazing run, but Billy's right. The ending is part of her own doing, right? Partly her own doing. So, but who gets those kind of runs? Like the 20-year runs, Johnny Carson, I guess, Letterman. It's always late night or talk show host.
You're sitting in the middle of one. You do realize that.
Yes.
You just got paid $50 million to, in your 20th year.
We're in the middle?
I mean you the middle of your run? Probably not.
But this is rare for radio duos to be together this long. Like, that
it's rare for anybody to be together this long.
Yeah.
It's rare for relationships to go this long, especially creative enterprises like ours. Yes, Dan's right. You can flame out. It's a difficult job. So you're sitting in one of those unprecedented things.
Didn't Joe Budden flame out yesterday? Like, what's that going to be? They entered the pandemic the same way we did. Flying saucer of rebellion and mercenary anti-institution. And it just ended up in a gutter yesterday. It made me like sad and scared me, because I was like, oh no, you guys have a great thing. And you flew into the pandemic and look at Kenny Mayne, what he's doing with his freedom. He's like, wait a minute, I have value. And he's going to end up in a bunker face first, just golfing. What happened? I don't understand what happened with, I don't follow that show. I just know that there have been parallels made between that show and ours.
So I read the Complex article, and there are two key parts of this show that there's a side to every story, right? Joe Budden obviously did a really nasty sounding podcast where he just lit these people that aren't necessarily on his level. It's the Joe Budden podcast, right? But these are integral parts of the show. And it kind of felt icky, the shots that he was taking. And they kept asking questions about equity and all this and painting them as bad guys, when it seems as though these people trusted Joe Budden implicitly. And as all these discussions are happening, as this podcast is an absolute juggernaut, they're just kind of going along, got to keep the content moving. Yeah, we'll do whatever. We'll sign whatever. We'll just keep going and we'll trust that Joe will take care of us. And it got to push came to shove. And they're like, well, hey, when are we going to be When are you even going to answer our questions? You're not even doing that. You're not even, we're not even building the bridge of the conversation that we need to have just yet. And so Joe Budden just like ended everything with them. And it's a bad look on Joe Budden to do that podcast that way, because he could have controlled the narrative. And now everyone on the internet that's a fan of that show seems to be taking the other people's side.
Stugatz, I found the juxtaposition of what we've just done and what they just did. When I saw, I got scared, because we had to bring in business assassins in order to make sure that we didn't end up careening into a ditch, because I don't know what I'm doing on that front. I don't know who manages Joe Budden, but what I just saw scared the holy bleep out of me, to see an entire company and a powerhouse just break apart in front of everybody.
It got me thinking.
I feel like the common denominator between all of these stories, whether it's Ellen or Joe Budden or even Scott Rudin, who has had a pretty significant fall from grace in the last couple months, is that they just all treated the people that they felt like were underneath them like shit. And that comes back to bite you eventually when these people now have social media and they can talk about their experiences with the press and use that to make you look bad, as they should. Don't treat people like shit is the bottom line.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink, plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes, so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
What is the best wrestling catchphrase? Because for me, that's the bottom line from Stone Cold is a good one.
What you gonna do?
Yeah,
the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever was.
I don't know.
What do you think is the best wrestling promo line? It doesn't matter what you... Woo, 5-0s. It has to be 5-0s.
The Heartbreak Kid didn't have a catchphrase, right?
They all have a catchphrase.
No, Heartbreak Kid didn't, though. Yeah. He had Suck It with DX.
Yeah, well, Suck It is up there.
Suck It. Up there.
Oh, you didn't know your ass better call somebody?
I have a DX shirt that I occasionally sleep in, and sometimes I'll just wear the shirt that I slept in the gym, and every time I'm like, why the f*** did I wear this shirt? In 2021, I got a shirt that says Suck It in the back. Why am I this person? I would never say that. If I saw someone wearing that shirt, I'd clutch my pearls. I'd just be like, why would you do that? They're kids present. This isn't who I want to be.
Is there anything from wrestling that you can do? Because I love doing the, oh, you didn't know. Do you ever like do it at home?
Jesse James.
Say the New Age Outlaws catchphrase at home by
no,
myself.
No. Do you do like the call and response? Because like they're, or like when they do like the what?
No.
Like that thing in the background?
I will tell you what I've been doing at my home by myself lately.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
I've been turning the corners of my house to just singing that out loud.
I wanted to get back to favorite sounds from the show, because there are so many musical things like that that end up stuck in your head for no good reason. That is happening to so much of the audience right now. And there's a clown horn in there on Bicycle, I think. And I just, Whittingham, I cannot have you deeply enough in this character that is the world's nicest asshole.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
If I started singing my own jingle, would that be characterized as nicest asshole?
Yeah, it's pretentious. It's asshole-y.
Can you do it, please?
Do you know how hard it is? And no one's ever wanted the role, Whittingham, of being more of an asshole around here than me and Mike Ryan. Mike Ryan has threatened my role on this.
Yeah. Happy to have you aboard.
Nobody else wants the role. Everybody wants to be Cody.
Yeah.
Hey, not you, Chris, your father. Like, let me just dance around and forget all my notes. You guys be the assholes. I'll take the applause.
Yeah, lots of land over here. This plot of real estate, Chris.
What are the meetings?
No, there are no meetings, Chris.
A meeting of assholes.
I can set the agenda if you like.
Right.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
It'll get stuck in your head.
I'll be in charge of taking the minutes.
God. Kid. I care about you.
I want to let Stugatz do his Merry Merry Knicks dance today because the Knicks have not felt this good in a really long time. I was reading articles, Stugatz, about biggest Knicks-Lakers game in 40 years.
Yeah.
A regular season game.
That was the Clippers game, actually.
For the four seed. They're talking, but they were just saying the Lakers. And I know you beat the Clippers,
yep.
And this is now a run at the right time by your team. And New York has gotten awfully loud, awfully fast. And I was reminded the other day, as Anthony Davis and LeBron James went courtside to go after Spike Lee, I was like, oh, man, it's been so long since Spike Lee mattered like that. It's been 20 years since New York was blaming Spike Lee for costing them a game in the playoffs.
Yes.
Because he got Reggie Miller pissed off. And now you not only have a team, but you have one of the best things in sports, which is the team nobody actually believed in, the team that people have been laughing about for 20 years, and the team because it has this coach that plays really hard. So New York has fallen in love. And basketball's always better when New York matters. And it needs to be. How do we get to Heat Knicks in the first round? Because, God, that would be so much fun in Miami.
How's it lining up right now? I think it's Knicks and Bucks and Heat and Hawks. Listen, it's been since 2012, 2013, since the Knicks have made the playoffs. I haven't felt this kind of excitement since Amari Stoudemire had that one month, his first month, where he was the MVP of the NBA, and maybe Jeremy Lin. So people are making fun of Knicks fans because they're getting very, very excited over the fact that they're the sixth seed. But it's not about being the sixth seed and making the playoffs this year. And they clinched that last night, not by winning, but by Boston losing, which is perfectly New York Knicks.
But God, Boston fell apart. God.
No, they really have. But people making fun of us, and plenty of people are, A, we haven't been to the playoffs in 8 or 9 years. Secondly, I think what people are really excited about with the Knicks is not about making the playoffs this year, although we are excited about that. It's about the next 5 or 6 years. And that's what people are excited about because they have Julius Randle. He's young. They have Tom Thibodeau. He appears to be a very good coach. They have RJ Barrett. They have their picks intact. They absolutely fleeced the Mavericks on that Porzingis deal. And so the Knicks look to be in good shape moving forward here for the next 5 or 6 years. And I cannot remember the last time, certainly not in the time that you and I have been doing this show, where I felt the way I feel about the Knicks. I can't recall a time where I felt that way. Over 20 goddamn years, man. So let me be excited and leave me the hell alone.
I saw on ESPN and on all his social media that Stephen A. Smith had struck me as odd, right? As someone who always makes fun of the Dallas Cowboys, that Stephen A. Smith would be such a public Knicks fan that he would be, after ripping this team across decades.
For good reason, though, Dan.
I know, but now that he's so excited about a team that clearly can't win the championship, even in a year when almost anyone can win the championship, Stugatz. Like anybody watching basketball right now, you can get really good odds on the Hawks, actually. Hawks are a value bet to win the championship. A lot of people are making that bet. You are not going to get value on the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks, I could look at, you don't believe that they're going to make a run. You don't believe that they'll get past the Heat, do you?
Well, I don't know if they're going to get the Heat here in the first round. I mean, they play the Bucks. The way it's lined up right now, they have the Bucks in the first round. I mean, yeah, I believe they can make a run.
You believe they can beat the Bucks? You believe that they can take out...
How do you
out...
define a run? Can they get
out of the first round?
Oh, man. The Bucks. They can if they play the Heat of the Hawks. I'm with you. They're not going to beat the Bucks. So, but if they play the Heat of the Hawks, they can absolutely win that first round matchup. Yeah, of course they can. Why not?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Stugatz. It's not that the Knicks could make a run or could actually win anything this year. It's just the fact that they're watchable again and they're fun to see on TV. Living here in New York, I have never seen Knicks fans so jazzed up. They're always depressed. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like
that. Just in terms of value bets, per our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook, the Hawks and the Knicks have exactly the same odds to win the NBA title at plus 10,000.
Oh, that's good value.
Oh,
I'm going to plop down a C note.
This little corporate asshole doing good stuff there. You caught that?
It's nice work.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
RJ Barrett has made a leap, Stugatz, although at the end of that Laker game, he had an awful game.
He was terrible,
and he missed the last shot. But part of the reason your team is better, Nerlens Noel stops people at the rim. Your defense is good because Thibodeau's always are. And you know, after they're talking, they are talking about Julian Randle. This is, they've only done it.
Julius, excuse me.
Julius. They're talking about him as an MVP candidate there in New York. One of the dozen that you have every week. It's someone different. Nick Wright says Chris Paul now deserves the MVP. It's a different name every week, but your team has New York excited, and New York, the city, will be more excited about the Knicks getting out of the first round than the Nets getting to the finals.
I think New York is more excited about the Knicks making the playoffs. Forget about what they do here on out. It's just making the playoffs. That excites New York more than if the Nets make it to the finals and lose. Now, they make it to the finals and win. They won a championship, and a lot of people will be excited about that. But that's the charm of this Knicks team, Dan. It's Tom Thibodeau. After a decade of being really, really bad, coming in and doing it with guys like Noel and Reggie Bullock and Elfrid Payton. I mean, those are the guys that the Knicks have made the playoffs with. Think about that. Carmelo? Nah. Amari? Nah. But he's getting there with Reggie Bullock.
You know, though, the problem is, right, that no matter how likable your team is, your fan base is so loud and unlikable that they can't be a charming story. You understand that part? Because I think people are really annoyed by how loud, after two decades of being laughed at, New York is about 6 seed, 5 seed, 4 seed.
Yeah. So, I mean, laugh at us all you want. We don't care. I mean, do we come across as people who care about anything? You want to laugh at us? Laugh at us. You want to mock us? Mock us. I don't care because I'm playing in the playoffs. How about that? I have at least, is it 3 or 4 playoff games, Mike? I have at least 4 playoff games, I think, in the first round. Is it best of 7? I hope it is.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's amazing that you have no idea how the playoffs work.
That is amazing.
Yeah, they changed it about 25 years ago.
The last time they were in.
Wow.
He thinks, Stugatz is thinking about like the Supersonics. They got knocked out in a series best of 5, right?
I think I'm playing with fire here, but this is a Miami bias, I think, on behalf of the show. Like, do you think that you, like, nationally, Knicks fans are viewed as more annoying than Heat fans? Because they haven't been around for a while now. Like, I think the Heat fans may have passed the Knicks fans and possibly even the Lakers fans.
Well, I think the thing with the Heat fans is they have earned their arrogance. The Knicks haven't earned anything.
Oh, but Billy is right about this. The reason, Billy, I don't believe in this city we have a better rivalry throughout the history of sports than Heat Knicks. And it's because we look in the mirror and we hate each other. Like, we hate those fan bases hate each other because they are each other.
We see each
loud,
other.
Loud when they shouldn't be. Brown, obnoxious, rooting for things that others find unlikable. I just got into a huge argument with a friend of mine saying that, man, I hate Tyler Hero so much. This is Boston, by the way. And I'm like, if he was in Boston, do you realize how much Boston would love Tyler Hero? They put a statue up to his 19-year-old ass last year. Tyler Hero, but our fan base, you tell me I've got it wrong. Knicks Heat is the greatest rivalry in the history of this town.
Jets, Dolphins. Those games, I've... people that won't take their kids to Jets Dolphins games.
How about Canes Notre Dame?
How about Cats Bolts? This
put the kids to bed.
How excited are you, Roy? It starts. It's coming.
I don't even know when they're going to play yet. They haven't announced it.
I'm so happy you said that.
Is it Sunday?
Can anyone tell me when the hell this game is going to happen?
Well, the North Division is still playing. So, like, it might
I don't care about the North. What the, what's a division that presents the North? Are they Scotiabank?
I don't care about
the Scotiabank. Scotiabank.
They're the Scotiabank North Division. I don't care about the North Division presented by Scotiabank. They're freezing us out, man. No pun intended. We were really hot. This is a whole conspiracy. A campaign against the Ice Cats.
It's Sunday, Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
All right. Awesome.
I don't think there's a time yet, but Sunday and Tuesday, game one, game two. Against,
they announced it?
Against two.
I got the Champions League
against
final.
Tampa.
Oh, my God. Against who?
Wouldn't it be game
who
three
think
and
the
four?
Bolts are?
It was a best of nine.
Who do you think the Bolts are?
Mike, why don't we do a live Twitch watch party?
Because my ass is going to be at that game if it's Sunday, for sure. I just hope we get a good start time, because if it's like anywhere near that Champions League final for the women's side, I might have a conflict. Lots to discuss. Oh.
I'm seeing that it's expected to be at 7:30 on Sports Network NBC.
Scheduled for 7:30?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's tentative. Good. This is like tentative, they're speculating though. Here. There's two slots, and they're expecting it to be at the 7:30.
Going to need Cynthia to drive to that one, hopefully.
Dan, to answer your question, I'm young enough where I don't give a shit about Heat Knicks. Those series, I didn't watch any of them. They meant nothing to me. The only reason why I know the Knicks fans are annoying is because everyone in South Florida knows a Knicks fan who will call you and tell you about the 5-game winning streak that they're on. Like, they have said so little to get happy about. But in terms of actually, like, actual animosity, I don't care about them at all.
But that's kind of my question, right? Like, who do the Knicks consider their rival? Because if it's not the Heat, then it's not really a rivalry, right?
It's James
like
Dolan.
They hated each other in the 90s, but they still care about each other 30 years later.
Yeah, they absolutely still care about the Miami Heat, because the Miami Heat have had several mile markers. Like, there are some Heat fans that would argue their rivalry against the Pistons was bigger than the Knicks. Some that would argue their rivalry with the Celtics and their big three was a bigger rivalry for this. For the glory days of the Knicks franchise, for a lot of that segment, that generation of fans, it's the Heat-Knicks rivalry. So they'll call back to it. While it's kind of like the Mad Men situation where Dom Draper walks into an elevator and the guy's like, I really feel bad for you. And Dom Draper's like, well, I don't think about you at all. That's kind of how it is right now for the Heat and Knicks.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's very early in the morning. He's clearly intoxicated with freedom. Kenny Mayne again with a golf update. He has called in. What do you have, Kenny?
I'm about 162 out. I got to look at my yardage book here on number one. What course are we called? What's this called? Blackledge Country Club, middle of the state of Connecticut. So I told you about my steadfast adherence to the rules. Rat will confirm, right? I play by the rules.
Oh, yeah.
And so you do get one out of the gate. Everybody concedes one. They call it breakfast ball. So I hit my first shot, not only like I'd never played, but I'd never heard of golf. Like, just, what am I doing here? And then I murdered my second, and I'm about a buck 60 out, and I'm going to put the phone down right by the ball and nap sound like it's NPR, okay?
Very exciting. Okay, so you're 160 out here.
Layout.
I'm going 5-iron, try to get it up in the air. Oh, that sounded good. Hold on.
It did sound good.
5-iron. Well struck.
Yep.
Well struck. Little right. And, you know, we're going to pop it on there in 3 and try to save a par, maybe bogey out of the gate. Hey, thanks, guys. We'll be talking to you.
All right.
Very good. Thank
little
you.
Little chip in a putt.
Thank you for stopping by, Kenny.
Witty just started whispering like Jim Nance in the middle of that, doing play-by-play. You couldn't even hear it.
It's the par 3, 186 yards to the cup. Here's Maine.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the most I've ever paid to go attend a sporting event.
You're going
to
do it?
You should do
it. You know, I did it, and I'm including LeBron's Heat in the NBA Finals. Wow. I've never paid this much.
You paid for the tickets, though? Why did you do that? Why didn't you let Stugatz run one of his Travis Kelce scams, or did you just think you were never going to hear from Stugatz
again? I'm not trusting Stugatz with that, and I want to protect Stugatz from Stugatz there, because I actually am very excited about this Travis Kelce relationship that is burgeoning between these two people. So I don't want to stand in the way of that, but this is the most I've ever paid for a sporting event. Prior to this, I think it was LeBron's Heat, and I also paid a lot of money to go see Miami Notre Dame, and that was one of the best investments ever. But it was that day that I decided I need to get season tickets for the Miami Hurricanes, because it's absurd how much more those singular tickets were than what my season tickets are now.
Is Whittingham also too young to understand the Notre Dame-Miami rivalry? Because there's a whole generation of people who don't have any reference points on how much those two schools hated each other, specifically because they were sort of spiritually aligned. One was the bad guy, clearly. They were calling Jimmy Johnson pork-faced Satan, and Notre Dame was the holier-than-thou school that was making everyone feel obnoxiously because they kept harkening back to the 1950s when they were good.
My guess is Whittingham knows about that rivalry because he cares about that school and that program in a way that he does not care about the Heat, I would guess, right?
No, I mean, I care immensely about the Heat. Like, I don't like the Dallas Mavericks whatsoever, given their meetings in the NBA Finals. But Notre Dame actually was kind of rekindled with that game that they played 4 years ago at Hard Rock Stadium, which finished 41-8 in the favor of the University
Shut
of
up,
Miami
Woody.
Hurricanes. Trayson Bandy, running back at pick six.
This is your one... Like, your one thing as a Miami
greatest
Rex
screen
fan,
grab of
your
all
one
time.
Thing. So I'm going to let you have it, but I'm just going to say, also shut up.
A fan of Notre Dame was so unnerved by how loud it was at Hard Rock Stadium, she put her fingers in her ears. Wow, it is the greatest image I have ever seen of a sporting event. Anyway, though, like, I kind of get it. It doesn't mean as much emotionally to me. University of Florida actually means the most to me, which is kind of strange.
Yeah.
The one that I think you might be surprised at, the University of Miami with me, Florida State, I'm not really like that bothered about them. Like, I don't really hate them as much. I was great. I was like so relieved to finally beat them a couple of years ago when I went to that Malik Rozier game where he threw it to Daryl Langham.
Oh,
incredible
man.
Scenes at the Doak Campbell.
I was just staying in my seat for like an hour after I was so shaky because, God, that was so good.
It's the Doak.
I hate khaki shorts because of FSU fans.
Oh, yeah. khaki shorts. I'll tell you that right now. Courts. I hate them. I'll tell you who I sneaky hate as much as FSU now. Because you're right. It goes UF in terms of just like, ooh, I really dislike those people. UF, King of the Mountain forever. Notre Dame. And then like North Carolina's entering this FSU territory because they do that shit. I'm telling you, you want to set me off?
That's sad.
You put that U upside down and I'll be like 60 years old. And I'll just
That's
be
so
like,
sad.
You! Who do you think you are? That's so disrespectful. It sets me off.
The only thing is,
oh
Mike,
my
you
God, now you sound like a Notre Dame fan, Mike.
It sets me the hell off.
You're moving
off.
Backwards by starting to have a rivalry with North Carolina.
But you don't know any North Carolina fans, though. For me, like, my relationship with hating teams is
Charlie.
All about the fans.
Charlie. Old money. I know Charlie.
Oh, I love Charlie.
And
you're punching down now, man.
Yeah, I'm... In football, it's sad to say, but North Carolina's been a better ACC program than the University of Miami has. We had that one basketball year that must have driven them freaking crazy. But North Carolina, I'm telling you, that's a legit rivalry now in the ACC. That's our biggest non-traditional rival. It's the only rivalry that was born out of us coming into this conference. I hate them more than I hate Virginia Tech now.
Wow.
I swear to God.
Wow.
Oh, when they do that thing. Guys, they're like coaching them up on it. It's ridiculous.
It's been like across multiple coaches as well. Like, this is like a hand-me-down tradition. Did it start with Ryan Switzer?
Yeah, who raised you? I, honestly, like, I'm watching these kids do it. I'm like, Where are your parents? That's what I scream at my TV. Is there an adult in the room? Can some coach in there pull this kid aside and say, we don't do that here at Chapel Hill? Because it is so disrespectful. Just sets me off.
It's so lame.
What about the stupid turnover chain? You don't think that's disrespectful, Mike?
Oh. Shout out to Will Manto.
It's the most gimmicky prop, stupid sideline thing I've ever seen.
We were first. Yeah.
I'm gonna cut her mic. Don't worry about it. Because it's the greatest thing ever. And Will Manto, it was a huge betrayal, I think, by putting this sound out there because they had a live feed. And that Notre Dame coach that was talking to these players, besmirching the great turnover chain. Oh. And then to have that turnover chain shoved up his own ass by Trajan Bandy. That was so good. And I will tell you, I've talked to a lot of people at College Game Day.
A lot of people.
Many are saying that the second loudest environment they have ever heard in their entire College Game Day career.
Second loudest,
because Death Valley at LSU, number one. Everyone, I bow. Yeah. See, they got more people there. It's insane. Yeah. Respect. Second loudest they've ever heard a stadium of any kind was when Trajan Bandy. Had that pick six. That we sound like the boomers of like the 90s when they're like, oh, you had to be there when Sebastian the Ibis got arrested. It was crazy. Like, it's sad, but 41-8 is that for a younger generation.
And Jessica, you might think that the turnover chain is stupid, but people are now copying our using a prop for celebrations.
There's been like four dozen varieties of the turnover chain.
They're all stupid though. Like the turnover plank at Kennesaw State. What is that? But Mike, like here's the thing about Miami. You had one game where everyone was loud and excited. If you can't sustain that throughout a season, through at least like six home games, then I don't give a shit. Like, congratulations, you got loud for one game. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean? Like, okay. That's pathetic.
I get where you're coming from. I'm not going to push back. I think it is pathetic. In fact, I'm going to have an awkward interaction, I think, here in the coming days with Manny Diaz, where I'm going to apologize for just two of the times that I tried firing him. But I think even he understands the FIU and the Louisiana Tech ones were warranted. Okay? I will not be taking those back. But Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech, I apologize publicly. It's awkward. But yeah, Jessica, you think it's hurting me, but there is nobody harder on this program than me. I hate what it's become. It's a basketball
school. Nobody's harder on them than you.
Yeah. Well, I'll sing their praises.
You don't believe that.
Oh, come on.
I'm pretty tough. I'm pretty tough. Many are saying this.
Mike, week one against Bama. Think they got a shot?
Bama's f***ed. Let me tell you this. Bama's so f***ed. They've lost so many people, and I believe we're setting an NCAA record along our offensive line in terms of games returning to that offensive line.
That is such an overrated stat, by the way. You have some shit offensive linemen that have stuck around for 4 years. Congratulations.
Who's Bama's quarterback? Go, off the top of the dome.
I mean, I didn't know who Jones was before he won a national title.
I knew who
title.
Mac Jones was.
Exactly. You're going to know their quarterback by the end of the year when they're playing the national championship.
Name a receiver. Name a receiver. Name a DB.
Five-star from St. Thomas.
Everybody got drafted. And here comes 36-year-old De'Aaron King off an ACL. He's the veteran. He's Dennis Quaid in any given Sunday. He's got moxie. He's got bad knees already. And he's going to break Alabama down over their knee.
Alabama is...
They're so fucked. You remember when Jared Willis? Do you remember when Gerald Willis was the best D tackle in all of college football because he was 44 years old?
You kept yelling at me too. Didn't you yell at me that I didn't know anything about defensive line play because I didn't believe he was a first round pick?
And I'm like, why didn't he get drafted? And apparently GMs value age entering the draft. Well, we gave him a D+ grade because he's 29 years old. I'm like, did Gerald Willis serve a Mormon mission? What's happening with this guy? But De'Aaron King, I swear to God, is going to be 26 years old playing Alabama, and they're in trouble. No one harder on this program than me. I keep it real. I tell the truth. I'm a truth teller when it comes to University of Miami. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
God. Oh, it's the worst parts of me.
And the best.
Yeah.
Jess is just jealous because all they have is the slapping of the play. Like
it's a disgusting thing.
Yes. That's the only tradition Notre Dame football has, yeah. Cody. You're correct. All they do is slap a sign. That's
Cody,
all they have.
Sit this out, Cody. Yeah. Come on.
That's all you got.
You just went after Notre Dame tradition because you don't know about any of their
Dan,
tradition?
What are their other ones?
They slap.
Play like a champion.
Play like a champion,
play like
man.
A champion.
Slap the sign. That's the one I just said.
That's the one he just said. So what's the second
Steve
one?
Steve Martin also. Yeah.
What's the second one?
I don't know.
They're just the tradition rich
school. Their second greatest tradition is sneaking into the college football playoff and all of us saying, like, oh, they're going to get killed.
And in the fight song.
But I would kill
hey,
to be
at least
in the...
they can. At least they can go undefeated. At least they can make an ACC championship, Mike.
Oh, go. No, fair Sullivan. Shout.
Wow.
Fair shout. It was a little. The system was gamed for them last year, but it's you're absolutely.
They beat
right.
the number one team. They beat the number one team in the country. They made the.
Well, they beat the number one team in the nation's backup quarterback and not the number one pick in the NFL draft. Like Miami had to go.
He will
Death
be the
Valley
number one pick in the NFL
Dabo,
draft in 2 years.
Because Dabo didn't believe in like a pandemic. Apparently, they had a prayer circle, and then we had to go and play a real Death Valley game against Trevor Lawrence, but. No, look, I'm not comparing. Notre Dame's a better football program over the last 20 years than Miami.
Traditionally.
Yeah. 100 years.
How many national titles do you have?
11.
11? How many when
Me
you were
personally,
playing?
11.
How
yes.
many were those titles won while black kids were playing? I'm just asking. Like how many with black kids on
Weird
the field?
Turn.
No. I'm just saying.
I don't have an answer to that, Mike, because I'm pretty sure like
I'm gonna
that's
Google
not
that.
Something that you could pat yourself on the back
Actually,
for either,
I will,
as a fan
I will.
Of any college football
Howard
team.
Howard Schnellenberger invented recruiting black kids. He invented it. I mean, that is absolutely something I will pat myself on the back for. That's one of the greatest achievements.
No one ever recruited a black kid before.
No, he invented the damn thing.
Until 83.
Yeah. Yeah, there may
no
have been.
No one's harder on Miami than Mike.
There may have been a coach recruiting one kid here or there. You never had a head coach recruiting an entire team for a major D1 program the way that he did. He broke down walls, Jess. He brought a community together. He built up a wall around the state of Miami. Ah, R.I.P. Howard.
Tradition, Rudy.
Notre Dame really crushed it in the World War II and post-World War II period. Championships in 1943, 46, 47, and 49.
I'm just going to venture a guess here, Jess.
So a bunch of other dudes were at war is what you're saying? Like, they only won where our entire country was, our football players were elsewhere fighting to defend the country.
Jess, do me a favor. You can't talk about double-digit national titles when every single call of you winning the national title sounds like this. Oh, there's Chubby Checker running down the sideline. If the audio
that's not true.
Yeah,
they won in the late 80s, Mike. That was during your lifetime, I believe.
And there's a World War II veteran pitching it to another white guy, and he avoids another white guy. Oh my God, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, have done it again for the eighth time, only paying white people.
Without Notre Dame football, without Newt Rockne, we would not even have the modern era of college football.
Newt is
so,
the problem.
Chubby Checker.
I'm sorry.
He's black.
He's black, and I was really like, what's a white name? Chubby Checker. I think I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I'm improvising here. It's a pretty cool riff. He spells it differently. All right. His name is Chubby. Maybe you didn't hear me correctly. His name is Chubby Checkers. There's an S at the end.
I feel like that should be the largest of five.
Yeah, Chubby. Yeah, it's Chubby Checkers. It sounds like a college football name.
That was funny.
And there's Chubby Checker running down.
Visually, it was.
And he sounds like a lineman. Was he returning a fumble?
I'm more enjoying the idea that you legitimately, right there, in terms of not just improv, but you created an entire instrument to improve the audio, and it did sound like I was transported to the 40s.
It was like he was playing a harmonica. Yeah. His hands were up to his mouth.
I'll tell you what the formation is. There's one white guy getting the ball from another white guy. There's a white guy behind him, and a white guy behind him, and a third white guy behind the quarterback.
And they all weigh 180 pounds.
Everybody's 108 and runs a 7-flat 40. He fakes it to his left. He fakes it to his right. He fakes it up the middle. He throws it to the guy behind him. They run. We have not invented the forward pass yet. Notre Dame Fighting Irish national champions for the 11th time.
Newt Rockne actually did invent the forward pass in the 1920s, Mike, so... You might want to check your history books.
You get it now, Jess.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
You got it.
Win one
if you
want
to learn more about Notre Dame, I have this nice 500-page textbook here about the creation of Notre Dame football, so maybe I'll send this to Woody. he can learn a little bit about
Put
sports.
Put it in the bin, please. I don't want that.
In a, you mean a trash can? A bin?
No, in the bin. Bin.
Yeah. Yeah. Call it a bin in England. Yeah.
There you go.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.